This is Festival Showcase, a weekly interview program that explores the music and the artists behind the 2016 season of the Aspen Music Festival and School and previews upcoming performances. I'm Chris Moore. This program comes to you from Aspen Public Radio, the official voice of the Aspen Music Festival and School, and can be heard online at aspenpublicradio.org. Today we'll be talking with two brilliant young musicians, 10-year-old pianist and world chess champion Harmony Zhu and 16-year-old violinist Maya Buchanan. We'll also talk with Sandy Grossman, who was instrumental in bringing the Pittsburgh Symphony to Aspen August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Here's 10-year-old pianist and world chess champion Harmony Zhu in a very lively and delightful conversation. Harmony, thank you so much for coming into the radio station to talk with us today.
Hi, Chris. It's my pleasure.
I was telling you, and I'll tell the audience, the radio audience too, that the youngest person I've ever interviewed before you was Gil Shaham when he was 11 years old, a violinist, very talented. You're a very talented pianist. I don't know if the two of you will ever play a duet together or not, but I want to ask about when you first started playing the piano, first of all.
Well, I first started when I was three, because my grandma, she was a professor of literature at a university, and after she retired, she decided to buy herself a piano so she could start it as a hobby. But she tried learning it, but she isn't really good, but every single time I went to her house, it was always my biggest toy, and I always played with.
Did you kind of know that you could play the piano before you really got going very far? When you were three, did you say, oh, I can do this?
When I was three, I just improvised some stuff on the piano. I just really liked it. It was really fun for me.
So in some ways, I could say you started composing when you were three also.
Kind of. Because I always improvise in my free time when I'm practicing. Even nowadays, like, I always just stop when I have a tune and just improvise it on the piano. And so it's really fun to do that for me. And when I'm practicing, I just always interrupt when I'm practicing and just improvise.
Now, when you're not at the piano, like when you were walking over here to the radio studio, did you hear melodies in your head? Do you sometimes hear melodies in your head just when you're walking around?
Yeah. Melodies in my head all the time.
All the time.
It's like a 24-hour radio for me. When I'm bored, I can just turn it on and I feel entertained.
Are they mostly beautiful melodies?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know you've also done some composing, and we're going to play a little bit of your composing, something that you wrote for Ellen DeGeneres, which I guess you've talked to her like three times on the radio or on TV, right? Wow.
Really fun there.
She was very nice to you, too. I saw that.
And after the show, she's also really nice off the show, which is really nice. And on the show, it was really fun because once I got on the stage, everybody was really happy and they cheered and everything.
You get a lot of cheering, don't you? Yeah, everybody says, wow, she's so good. I have to ask you a couple things. How old were you when you won the International Chess Championship for your age group?
You mean the World Youth Chess Championship?
The World Chess Championship.
Yeah. I was eight back then.
Eight, and that was in Dubai?
Yeah, in the United Arab Emirates.
And how old were you when you first went to Juilliard?
When I first went to Juilliard, I was eight.
Eight.
Yeah, I was eight.
And you were the youngest musician in Juilliard at that time, right?
Yeah, I'm still the youngest.
You're still the youngest at 10. Oh, okay. Wow. So now that you're 10 and you're maturing, I thought maybe there'd be somebody else younger coming in behind you there. Is it fun or is it a lot of hard work to work at?
It's really fun in Juilliard.
At Juilliard is fun?
Yeah, of course, because all of the different classes, we have lots of classes, like ear training and theory and chorus and all those studio class. And all the teachers are really fun, too. They're, like, really funny. They always make jokes when they're, like, teaching us. And sometimes I bring my toys to the class, and, like, some teachers like to play with the toys and, like, act like they're Beethoven or something. It's just really fun.
These are not special teachers that are set aside just for young students. These are the same teachers that the 19 and 20-year-olds are having, right?
Yes,
right. So who are some of your favorite teachers at Juilliard and here in Aspen, too?
Well, Ms. Kaplinski's really nice. She always also, like, she has lots of, like, good, like, comparisons. Like, when she says, like, your playing has to have a good tempo, you can't, like, slow down too much or something, like, not too much your body. She's like, the tempo is your bones, and if you don't have your bones, you're just, like,
then you become a jellyfish, huh?
Really funny.
I also wonder, now, if you go to Juilliard most of the time, that means that you probably live somewhere close to New York, right?
I live in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Does your mom or dad take you to school every day, or how do you get
there? My dad drives me to Juilliard every Saturday.
Oh, so it's just weekly in Juilliard for you.
Yeah, every Saturday, for everybody.
And when you're at home, tell me if you have any pets and if they enjoy your playing.
I actually have two pets.
Okay.
I have Mozart. She's a parakeet.
Mozart the parakeet.
Yeah. And I also have a betta fish. She's really pretty because she's all red and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And my parakeet, Momo, that's her nickname. Every single time I play piano, she always, because I let her out of her cage,
mm-hmm.
and she can just fly around anywhere in the house.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm playing piano, she always flies over to the window where my piano is.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm playing like soft stuff and slow stuff, she's really happy to do like, like, she's really happy, she's enjoying it. And then when I'm, like I play for Xandos, or really loud and fast stuff,
mm-hmm.
she's just like, and she doesn't like it very much.
So she complains to you, huh?
Yeah, and sometimes she flies away. And then sometimes when I'm playing piano, she likes to come onto my music stand, and she likes to nibble on my score.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I'm playing, suddenly she comes onto the music stand, and she's like, it's like, so that's why lots of my scores have, like, holes on the side. She always likes to nibble it.
And you practice a lot, I bet. I bet to play as well as you do.
Not really. It depends.
A few hours a day? Or?
Well, kind of. Because, like, if I have lots of homework at school,
mm-hmm.
or just school, I might practice less. But, like, if I don't have school, like, here I practice, like, a few hours per day.
So you go to regular school in New Jersey also,
yes.
right? Do you have regular friends just like everybody else?
Yeah, of course. And I have lots of friends at school.
You know, everybody thinks that, oh boy, she's a genius. Maybe she's all alone in some room and just practicing and composing and everything. But that's not really your life, is it?
It's more. No, I have lots of friends.
Right. Well, that's really great. Where does all this come from? I mean, it seems like you seem like a totally normal girl, and yet it's not normal, the things that you're able to do. It's very, very special. Hearing the melodies in your head all the time and everything. Where does all that come from?
Well, I don't know, but every single time I go to, like, a concert or something,
mm-hmm.
even before people hear me play, they're just like, wow, can you play piano? You look so pretty, like, you're just...
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people always stop me and tell me that.
Uh-huh.
And then after I perform, they're even more enthusiastic because
mm-hmm.
they're always like, can you come to, you have to come to my house to see my dog. You have to come
right.
to dinner with me. You
have a pizza.
Yeah,
right?
You have to go hiking. And some people want to take me to the bakery and then take me to lunch and everything. It's really
mm-hmm.
fun.
Right.
And so at intermission, when I watch concerts, people are always like, harmony, harmony, harmony.
Right.
And they're always talking to me and everything, inviting me to go places.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
Wow, do you get to go hiking sometimes here?
In
Aspen?
I actually went to Maroon Bells last year.
Ah, oh, so beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Gorgeous
I
up there.
I took really a lot of pictures.
I bet. Did you just go up to that first lake, or did you do a little hiking past that?
I did the lake, and I just kept on taking photos of that.
Oh, yeah.
It was so beautiful.
It is really
pretty.
Even
saw some deer there.
Mm-hmm. You haven't seen the moose or the bear yet, though.
I didn't see any bears. One time, when I was practicing, I saw a black thing crawl by.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too big. It was pretty small. So I thought it was just a fat dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go outside to make sure it was. So I went outside and wanted to pet it. And I saw it was actually a bear.
Well, you did
it was
see
a cub bear. Around
wow.
my practice rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time, because I always like to wear flower hair pieces on my head,
mm-hmm.
like right now.
Right.
And so one time I went outside, I was talking to my friends out of my practice room, and then suddenly I heard like a huge buzzing sound right beside my ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, what bee makes such a big sound? So I looked over and I started shooing it away. And then I suddenly noticed it was a green hummingbird.
Hummingbird.
And it was the first time I've ever saw a hummingbird or a bear.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really amazing.
What an amazing day, huh?
Yeah, lots of first-time experiences here.
I first heard you play actually a year ago, and you played very well. But this year, when I've heard you play, it sounds more beautiful. It sounds like you're really thinking about how to make it as beautiful as possible. Tell me a little bit about your growth as a musician in the last year or so.
Well, I think you probably heard me play Andante Spinato and Grand Polonaise
yes.
by Chopin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so this piece is actually very interesting because Chopin first wrote a version for like piano and orchestra to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, after a few years, he wrote an Andante Spinato to introduce the Polonaise,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. And the two are very different. The two like two sections are very different. And actually this last summer I visited his birthplace in Poland when I was performing at an international Chopin festival. Mm-hmm. And it was in Zalazowa Wola, and I learned a lot about Poland's history and also about Chopin's life there. I also got to see some of his manuscripts and photos, which is really fun. Yeah.
Was he a neat writer, or was he a sloppy handwriter like Beethoven?
He's pretty neat.
He was a neater handwriter. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you play Beethoven at all?
Yes, I do. Yeah, performing some Beethoven, a Beethoven concerto in October with the Puria Symphony.
Yeah, now he wrote, I don't know if you know this, but mm-hmm. he had a piano repairman have to stand by next to him while he was performing because he'd break the strings he played so hard.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm wondering sometimes, how do you think you can play with enough strength and power to play Beethoven?
Well, I don't think I need to break the strings.
No, you don't have to.
As long as I play like loud, and I think, yes.
Yeah, because I've heard you play loud in the Chopin. That has loud parts too, mm-hmm. yeah.
Robert Schumann actually described Chopin's Polonaises as cannons buried in flowers, which is, I like that mm-hmm. very much, because it's like powerful weapons buried mm-hmm. in like beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very clever description.
I think so too. And I think that the beauty in Chopin fits very, very well with you, but there is a lot of power in there too. And when you compose, tell me a little bit about composing, because you've been composing for years now. When you do, what do you put into it? Do you put your feelings in, your happy feelings, your sad feelings?
As I told you, I always improvise. Mm-hmm. And so I usually take my improvisations and write it in. But sometimes I just compose with pencil and paper. Mm-hmm. And like I can like improvise in my head. So sometimes I don't need a piano. I can just write down my improvisations on the on the paper. And so I just always improvise my compositions. Uh-huh. Just write them down.
And then you just write down your improvisations.
Kind of.
And that's what you
and
did for
Ellen DeGeneres.
And I just
develop them and trim them a little and develop them.
I know Ellen DeGeneres was very moved when you played a piece for her that was about her, I think.
Yeah, because I composed that because I wanted, like, because I really had a melody in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I told her because I missed Beyond the Show, mm-hmm. so I wanted to compose something for the show.
Uh-huh.
And for Ellen.
The audience really liked it, too. You're also the youngest, it says here, 30 hot Canadian classical musicians under 30, that you got named as one of those when you were 8 years old. And that must have just blown your mind.
It was really fascinating when I saw it. Yeah, it was a big honor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And did you get to meet some of the other musicians who won that same honor?
Yeah, but most of them were much older than me, mm-hmm. because it's under 30,
sure.
but some of them were also my classmates. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there's a lot of things you really enjoy. You enjoy ping pong. I see here that you like singing, that you like history, dancing, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You just like to just dive into everything, right?
Yeah, I have a passion for everything. I love mm-hmm. to do anything,
right.
because I like also watching nature. I actually have a backyard, and mm-hmm. I put like nuts and berries and things like millet for the birds and stuff mm-hmm. and those things. So I always see deer and turkey in my backyard everywhere. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like every single day, at least four times per day, blue jays or cardinals come, and sometimes chickadees too.
Mm-hmm.
And they all like the food, so sometimes they fight for it. So I put a lot to make sure they don't fight for it. And sometimes I see squirrels too.
Mm-hmm. God, that's just amazing. It's amazing that you have such a wide range of interests. You're taking in the whole world like a big sponge, aren't you, in some ways? So in just a couple of weeks, you go back to New Jersey, back to your home. It's going to be fall and winter. Do you have any other concerts lined up there, maybe at Carnegie Hall or any other major place like that?
I'll be performing in Peoria. I'll mm-hmm. be performing Beethoven's Concerto No. 1
wow.
with the Peoria Symphony Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I performed there in May already. Mm-hmm. I was performing a televised solo recital there. Mm-hmm. And then in January, I'll be performing in Virgin Islands, two recitals there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in February, I'll have some other performing in Virginia.
If you've just joined us, this is Festival Showcase. Funding for Festival Showcase is provided by the Barnard Fain Foundation. We've been talking with 10-year-old pianist and world chess champion Harmony Zhu, who's been playing all over Aspen at the Physics Recital, Harris Hall, the Art Museum, and at several house concerts. This year's Aspen Music Festival season ends on August 21st officially, but The Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra is coming out August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. I had a conversation with Aspen Music Festival and school supporter Sandy Grossman, who first came up with the idea of bringing the Pittsburgh Symphony to Aspen the week after the official music festival ended. Let's talk with him a little bit about the concerts he helped bring to Aspen.
We'd been going to the Salzburg Music Festival every year for many years, and there you have some of the greatest orchestras in the world. And the disjunction between listening to the Aspen Music Festival orchestra and the students who are wonderful and the faculty who are wonderful and going and hearing a professional orchestra is so great. I mean, it's just a different experience. Both experiences are good, but the experience of listening to a very great professional orchestra with musicians that play together all the time, who are the best in the world, with a conductor that they're accustomed to playing with, is a new experience. And it makes you see the works and hear the works in a different way. What I would like to do is expand the audience that we have here in Aspen from those audience members who love to see the students, and love to see the faculty, and have and participate in the tent in a very nice experience. And that's one kind of audience. Another kind of audience is the kind of audience that's going to Verbier, going to Salzburg, to listen to a professional orchestra that plays together well and that has been playing together for many, many years and feel that musical experience. So what I'd like to do is increase the size of our audience, increase the number of people who are coming to Aspen, and find those people throughout the world who want to hear one of the greatest orchestras in the world. One of the things that I'd recommend to your audience is to get hold of a disc that just won a lot of awards that the Pittsburgh Symphony just did of Beethoven 5th and 7th symphonies. Absolutely extraordinary recording, just to give them a feel for the extremely high quality of that orchestra and its conductor. I think that the experience of listening to that orchestra will complement the experience that they've had all summer of listening to the kids play. It's just so amazing to have one of the greatest orchestras in the world come to Aspen and be here. They're excited about coming, of course.
No doubt.
But we are very excited about having them.
One of the things I'm excited about, too, is that there's a Bruckner Symphony on the program, and I almost never hear Bruckner. I can't remember ever hearing a full Bruckner Symphony at the Aspen Music Festival in school. And I have a sense that to make Bruckner work requires a certain level of focus with the orchestra to hold the strand, to hold the arc of the music, because it unfolds so slowly in such a very different way from most other works. Do you feel like, in some ways, the Pittsburgh is one of the few orchestras that can really do justice to Bruckner and show what Bruckner can offer?
The work is not a difficult work. It's a tonal work. It has a lot of brass, which we thought would be good in the tent. It has a lot of repeats, which make music more accessible, I think, often to an audience. But it's a difficult work to perform. It's so difficult that it would require, you know, 10 times the amount of rehearsal that we have for our students. And we just don't work on a long rehearsal basis with the students. We try to expose the students to as much music as possible. And so they're very good at things that they've played before. But if something is new and they haven't played it and it's difficult, they really do need 10 hours rather than 3 hours or 15 hours rather than 3 hours. And that just doesn't fit into the curriculum. While something like the Philadelphia, which has, you know, musicians that have been professionals for 20, 30 years and have played this together as an orchestra, can take a very difficult work like that and make it absolutely exciting, riveting. Let me just mention, if I could, Pinchas Zukerman is playing two violin concertos, one of which the audience has probably heard here before, the Bruch violin concerto.
Sure.
Another is the Berg, Alban Berg's violin concerto, which is one of the greatest violin concertos ever written.
Is that the Requiem for an Angel or something?
Yes. That's a subtitle. I don't remember whether that's his or some marketing guy's. But we actually have had that occasionally at Aspen, but very rarely. And it's a very lyrical work. It's a beautiful work. To me, it's at the level of quality of a Beethoven violin concerto. I kind of promise anybody who comes to that, they're going to love it. They're going to, again, another extremely riveting piece, a very important work of the early 20th century by one of the greatest composers of the 20th century, Alban Berg.
One thing I find exciting, too, is that Pinchas Zukerman, who is known all over the world and has a spectacular career, is not a regular here in Aspen. So it's going to be, I think, for many people, an introduction to of a great violinist.
He has been here before. Certainly in the last 10 years, he's been here at least once, but he's not a regular. Just a great, great musician. Anybody can go on YouTube, listen to him play everything from Baroque music to contemporary music, and all of it is of extremely high quality. Mm-hmm. Very, very impressive musician.
Well, for you to have such a great passion for classical music that you decide that this is going to be one of the things that you're going to, in a sense, express your generosity towards and offer your active support for. I guess I'm just curious why it is that music is so important to you that you have decided to take an active role in this, because this is a great thing. We're all very grateful that you have made that choice.
You know, I live here full time. Aspen's a very important place to me. So to me, this is my community, and I really feel very strongly that I want to increase the attractiveness of this community to others who enjoy music the way I do.
We've been talking with Aspen Music Festival and school supporter and board member Sandy Grossman, who first came up with the idea of bringing the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra to Aspen the week after the festival ended. They come to the Benedict Music Tent for 3 postseason performances on August 23rd, 24th, and 25th, led by maestro Manfred Honeck and featuring violinist Pinchas Zukerman, as well as clarinetist and artist faculty member Michael Rosenek. The program includes, on August 23rd, Honeck conducting Bruckner's 4th Symphony and Zukerman playing the Bruck Violin Concerto. Then on Wednesday the 24th, Honeck conducts Mahler's 5th Symphony, Rosenek plays Mozart's Clarinet Concerto. And finally, on the 25th, Honeck conducts Strauss's Elektra Symphonic Rhapsody and Dvorak's Rusalka Suite, and Zukerman comes back to play the Berg Violin Concerto. Christopher O'Reilly brings his show From the Top to the Aspen Music Festival and School every year, including this Sunday, August 14th at 7 o'clock. A number of very talented young musicians play oftentimes with Christopher O'Reilly, and one of those is going to be the 16-year-old violinist Maya Buchanan. You can hear her talk more and perform live at Harris Hall this Sunday at 7 on Christopher O'Reilly's show From the Top. Well, Maya, whenever I see a very talented young artist, the first thing that I wonder is, when did you start? So maybe you can tell me when you first picked up the fiddle.
Yeah, so I was 3 years old, almost 4, and my mom just loves music, so she started me and both of my siblings in a Suzuki program in the Black Hills, where I live.
That's not an uncommon story. There's a lot of kids that pick up the violin at 3, but how soon did people realize, oh my gosh, Maya can really play the violin?
I think probably around the age of 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started really loving it myself, because before that, my mom always kind of had to force me to practice, and I never wanted to.
Right.
But I think, yeah, around the age of 11 is when I actually started practicing myself and actually wanting to and prove and perform and play better. So
when you turned 11 and you realized, wow, I really like this, did you like it because you could express feelings that you couldn't express in other ways? It sounded so pretty. What was it that made you say, oh, I do like this?
Yeah, I think it's both of those things that you just said, because I'm not very eloquent. You know, I don't speak very well. So being able to do that with my violin, it was nice for me to be able to do that and express how I feel and who I am, I guess, through music, through violin.
I just thought of a story of somebody who was a very talented violinist, and when she was 12, she was playing really major things, and she wanted a pet monkey. She begged her mom. I said, I want a monkey. Her monkey just, and so her mom just said, well, let me just tell you what, if you can memorize the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, which she didn't expect her daughter could do, and play it really, really well for me, then I'll buy you a monkey. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, she had totally memorized that. And then the monkey totally tore the house apart. Like, they had to get rid of it. But did your parents, did they use things to, maybe not a pet monkey, but did they use things to motivate you, to get you moving forward with your practicing?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when I was younger, I was obsessed with stickers and gum. Uh-huh. So I remember one of the first performances I ever gave, I was too scared to do it alone. So my sister, who also plays the violin, actually went up with me and performed it with me. So then the second performance, I wanted her to do the same thing. I didn't want to play by myself. So my mom was like, mm-hmm. I'll buy you a pack of gum and some stickers if you play by yourself. So I went up and I played by myself and I got stickers and stuff. So yeah, definitely bribery right. definitely works on me.
Now you have to settle for all these international awards you're getting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Aspen. Here you are. Is this your first season up in Aspen?
This is actually my sixth year coming
sixth
here.
Sixth year.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So you were 10 or something when you first got here.
I was 9 my first year.
Wow. Okay. So tell me a little bit about the experience of being up here all summer in this very, very dramatic place.
It's so inspiring just to be in this area with all of the, you know, mountains and everything around is just really inspiring itself. And then, of course, just being at this festival, having multiple amazing concerts every single day is really something that is special, because since I live in such a rural place, I don't mm-hmm. get that during the year. So when I come here, it's like so inspiring to be able to, you know, just walk a few blocks to an amazing concert every single night. Being around so many other amazing musicians that are doing the same thing as me is also really inspiring for me. And it makes me want to practice more.
I imagine you practice a lot here, but do you also find that there's at least some time for you to go up to the mountains or to do other things?
Yeah, definitely. I just went hiking up American Lake, actually, a couple mm-hmm. days ago. So, yeah, I try to do a lot of hiking and things like that when I'm here.
Do you have a number of different teachers, or is there one teacher you're mostly working with here?
This year, I'm actually working with two teachers. All the past years that I've been here, I worked with Paul Cantor. Mm-hmm. But this year, I worked with Mr. Cantor for the first session, and then I'm working with Sylvia Rosenberg for the second session.
I know both of them.
Yeah.
And also, I think they have different styles and different approaches mm-hmm, to definitely. Some degree. A lot of times when a violinist shows real talent, then they have to face this big challenge of the $1 million violin or the $3 million violin or something like that. What are you playing, and are there any plans for you to try to figure out a way through some foundation or something to get a truly great violin someday?
Yeah, right now I'm playing a composite, so it's made up of, you know, different parts of different makers, so we don't know what it is. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely hoping that at some point I'll be, you know, loaned a really nice instrument in the future, hopefully.
Right.
We've got some good connections in Chicago, which is where I study most of the year. So, yeah, someday I'm hoping to play a really nice instrument.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
And the instrument you have sounds very beautiful. So
oh, thank
it's,
you.
It's
yeah,
always a good start.
The one I have right now is actually really nice, so I'm happy with it.
We've been talking with 16-year-old violinist Maya Buchanan, who will also be appearing this Sunday on From the Top, Christopher O'Reilly's show, where he features talented young musicians, interviews them, and oftentimes performs with them. You can hear the interview program and the concert live by just going to Harris Concert Hall this Sunday at 7 o'clock for From the Top. Funding for Festival Showcase is provided by the Barnard Fain Foundation. This has been Festival Showcase, a weekly interview program that explores the music and the artists behind the 2016 season of the Aspen Music Festival and School and previews upcoming performances. This program comes to you from Aspen Public Radio, the official voice of the Aspen Music Festival and School, and can be heard online at aspenpublicradio.org. Please join me Tuesdays at 3:30 or the rebroadcast Saturdays at 3 for more interviews. My name is Chris Moore. Thanks for listening.